being greatly distressed. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but distress is severe psychological strain. Some people would call it extreme discouragement, or maybe even depression. I don't know if you've ever gotten that letter from the IRS. I have. That can lead you to being greatly distressed.
Yes, amen.
Or maybe getting news that someone in your family, somebody that you loved, has passed away. That can lead you to be greatly distressed.
Yes.
There's all kinds of different things that can cause us to be greatly distressed, and it happens to us. I don't know if you are in that right now or not, or maybe just came out of it, or maybe you're headed for it and you don't know it yet. But imagine taking and going to your house, and as you drive up close to your neighborhood, you notice that the entire neighborhood's burnt down. And you get there to find out that your family has been kidnapped by the enemies, which is exactly what happened here in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to read the first few verses of it. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God."
Amen.
We're going to stop right there. We're going to read a little bit more later, but we're going to stop right there and pray. Father, I do thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for showing us in your word here an account where David was greatly distressed. And Lord, In his way, he went to you and he talked to you. And he encouraged himself by doing so. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that that formula still works today.
Yes,
I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to the things that we need to see, because we're going to be in that position at some point. And we're going to need help from you. And I pray that you would help me to say the things I should tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So the setting is this. David is running for his life because Saul is hunting him. He's hunting him like an animal.
Yeah.
He's mad with him for no reason.
That's right.
He's jealous. He hates him. He wants to. He's already tried to kill him a few times and failed. And he's hunting him. So David's on the run. He's got these men with him, and they're basically just kind of living out in the woods. They did get permission from Agag, the king of the Philistines, to let him stay here in this city called Ziklag, and that's where they're staying at this time. Basically, just trying to stay away from Saul. They figured if they were in the land of the Philistines, Saul wouldn't come after them. But then David and his men had to go to battle. against somebody. In fact, what they were actually headed to do was go to battle against Israel.
Yeah.
With the Philistines and the king, King Agag. And the king and his men got to talking and they decided, you know what? It's probably better that David didn't go to battle with us against his own people. Send him home. So they did. So David and his men are headed back to Ziklag. And they get there to find that their homes were entirely burnt down to the ground and their families have been kidnapped by the enemy. The Bible says that they wept loudly and for a long time to the point they ran out of energy.
That's right.
I don't know if you've ever been there or not, where that you've cried and cried and cried and all of a sudden you just had no more tears, no more strength. Sometimes you even fall asleep after that because of just being so wore out.
Yeah.
That's where David and his men were. Okay? Now, David didn't do anything wrong, but somehow his men got the idea that this was his fault. And they got to talking about stoning David because of it. David heard them. Now, David's already greatly distressed because his family's gone, his home's burnt down. All these men, their families are gone. Their homes are burnt down. That, if that wasn't bad enough, now they're talking about stoning him because of it.
Right.
Rough predicament. Okay? A lot of times when things, bad things, happen to us, we wonder why God has allowed it to happen. Sometimes we even blame him.
Mm.
If we don't blame him, we blame somebody.
Yeah.
It seldom occurs to us that maybe God allowed this to happen, right?
Yeah.
For a bigger purpose in our life. It could be that he's allowing this calamity to come into our life to mold us and to shape us to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
I know that's hard to accept.
Yeah.
Especially right in the heat of the battle. Especially when we just got through blaming somebody for it.
Mm.
When actually sometimes they may have made bad choices. And because of that bad choice, you or I are hurting because of it.
Right.
So it's easy to blame other people. But believe it or not, God allows things like this to happen to grow us.
Amen.
In verse 4, the Bible says that they were weeping. It's interesting how that these men, if you read in another part of the Bible, you'll see how that these men were a bunch of hurting men before this ever happened.
Mm.
And they flocked to David. People who are discontented, and these men were, people who are in distress, they tend to strike out at other people.
Mm.
Hurting people hurt people.
Right.
And it's typically our nature to strike back at, retaliate. We get angry with the things that they've done or the things that they've said. In fact, they may have said some things that were quite hurtful to you or to me. Were they wrong in doing that? Yes, they were wrong. Could God have stopped them from doing that?
Yes.
He could have.
Mm-hmm.
He could have orchestrated some events in their life that wouldn't have even happened.
Right.
But he didn't.
Amen.
So David here was facing an issue like that. He's been leading these men. They came to him because they had problems. They were in debt. They were in trouble with the law, some of them. Some of them were just unhappy. So David's got the responsibility of taking care of them, feeding them, protecting them. And now they're talking about stoning him over something that wasn't even his fault. But David doesn't just fire back at him.
Amen.
The Bible says at the end of verse 6 that he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him,
amen,
pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now that alone was encouraging.
Amen.
But if you look through it, in verse 6, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Then it said that he prayed.
True.
I don't know what he was doing when he was encouraging himself in the Lord. But I do know this. When you or I get discouraged or get distressed, it's a real good thing to purposely remember the times that God came through.
Amen.
The times that God delivered when we were in trouble. The times that God healed when we needed healing.
Amen.
The times when God provided money when we didn't know where it was coming from.
Right.
And look back on all these times that God delivered. David certainly had plenty of those. Many of them are mentioned in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are not.
Right.
But I think he did that. I know I can't prove that, but it does say that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And then it says later that he prayed. So whatever he was doing when he was encouraging himself in the Lord was probably different than just simply praying to God.
Amen.
It may have included it. I'm sure it did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure David cried out to God and said, God, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we weren't doing anything wrong. What do we need to do? Please, help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he probably, because of his nature, he probably took a few minutes to just praise God for the past victories.
Amen.
And I'm sure by doing that, he began to feel some joy coming back. And then he got the ephod and inquired of God, what do we do? What do we do?
Mm.
We don't know what to do.
Amen.
We don't know where to go. We don't even know who did this.
Mm.
God said, go after them. You'll get every one of them back. That alone was encouraging, I'm sure. There's going to come a day when you or I are greatly distressed. This is important because David showed us what to do when we're distressed. But if you will remember, King Saul, he ran into a similar case himself. He also prayed to God. And remember right here in verse 8, the Bible says, and David inquired at the Lord. He asked him, what do I do? And God said, pursue. He immediately answered him.
Yes, amen.
King Saul, same thing. He's distressed. Enemies are surrounding him. He's outnumbered. And he prays to God. And God said nothing. Saul received no encouragement. This is important for us to remember here, because they both ran into a problem. They both prayed to God.
Yeah.
And God answered David. But he didn't answer Saul. Why? David followed God's protocol way ahead of time. Saul didn't. When you make God happy, He'll make you happy.
Amen.
But the opposite is also true.
Yes, sir.
You make God unhappy, He's going to make you unhappy. David knew what God wanted and he gave it to him. Saul knew what God wanted, but he didn't give it to him. What God wanted from both of them was obedience. And I'm talking about prior to this situation.
Right.
That's important for us to note here. Even Solomon talks about it in Proverbs, where the wicked cries out to God and God doesn't answer. By the way, you and I can be wicked as a Christian when we repeatedly go against what God wants us to do.
Yes, sir.
And then when we cry out to God, there's no answer, nor is there any deliverance. David, he got what he asked for. Verse 18 and 19 of the same chapter says this: "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all." Wonderful ending to the story.
Amen.
It didn't end that way with Saul. In fact, it was a pretty sad ending for Saul.
That's right.
Because it wasn't long after that he prayed and asked God for deliverance that he wound up actually falling on his own sword. Because he had gotten injured in battle, and he didn't want the Philistines to catch up with him and kill him. So he props his sword up and he falls right into it. On purpose. Sad ending.
Yeah.
It was sad before that, but that made it worse.
That's right.
Difficult times are going to come. There's no doubt about that. They've already come. There's none of us in here that haven't had them. They're going to come again.
That's right.
The good news is there's help from on high.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." He was telling us right there, you're going to have problems. You're going to find yourself in distress from time to time. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We are going to run into these problems. And you might be living high on the hog right now, I don't know, but I just know this. We're going to have the difficult days. We don't need to wait until that time comes to call out to God.
So true.
We need to have a close walk with Him now, and then when that time comes, and we cry out to Him, He'll reach down and deliver. But if we're going to wait until that time comes to cry out to Him, we're probably not going to hear his voice. And we're probably not going to see his deliverance. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I thank you for the promise that you give in your word over and over, that you want to help us. You want to deliver us, and you seek those that fear you and obey you to show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk with you,
yes,
on a daily basis, and to have a growing desire to know you more. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn 481. 481.